This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon, and I'm also here with a special guest, first time in, I don't know, like 7 months, Brandon, something like that?
Not since you were on your short-lived paternity leave, Josh.
That's true. I took less time for fantasy podcast paternity leave than I took for actual work paternity leave. It really shows where my priorities are, doesn't it?
This is the point in the podcast, Josh, where you ask me how I'm doing. And it's not important how I'm doing, Josh, because as you said, we have a guest.
What's important is how Dave Wegner-Lodahl is doing. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Hail, cheaters. First time, long time. Humbled to be on. Just don't want to break up your guys' great rapport. But I do have one point. If I was listening to this podcast, it needs another liberal white male elite in the I-95 corridor. So we're happy to up your quota there.
That's true.
If this podcast weren't American enough already, it just got 50% more American.
Dave took the Acela quiet car down to see us and record this podcast.
You can't listen to Always Cheating on the quiet car because you have such a good time. You start laughing, having a good time.
Oh, straight to the dining car for sure. Yeah.
So Dave is he's actually a co-host with us this week. We're just going to jump right into everything that's going on because it's such a. Such a massive week, tons of planning, tons to think about. But Dave, I wanted to just say a couple things about you. I think you've been listening to the podcast for about 2 years. Is that right? Since the beginning?
Yep.
Thereabout. And how long have you been playing fantasy? How long have you been a fantasy Premier League master?
Maybe the first time I played was 2011, sort of half season. You know, had to lick my wounds, collect more people into a mini league. So I had to regroup, get my mini league together. So I'll give a shout out to the International Super Bowl Cup, especially Tim, Drace, Randy, all those guys. What's up? So we've been playing that league for about three years now, and more seriously.
And we were talking to Dave a little bit before the podcast about just how much fun it is to have a mini league. It's just, it really... If you have a good mini league where people are actually paying attention to participating, it just makes it kind of doesn't matter how well you're doing overall. It just matters what's happening within that league. And so you can be having kind of a bad season, but you can still sort of find things to care about.
Absolutely. I mean,
thank you, Brad.
I could do nothing but agree with you on that one, Josh. And we have a couple questions coming up from listeners about what do you do if you're in a mini league at this point in the season, and basically that's all you have left to play for.
But Brandon, before we get there, I just want to say that Dave is on the podcast. He's a longtime friend of the pod, but he's also the winner of the Patreon Knockout League, and he was neck and neck with Shane Deere for like what felt like 13 weeks or so. Everyone else was gone. It was just you two going head to head forever, it seemed like.
And he kept asking me who I'm picking. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you, man.
That's very cheeky.
It really was. I was like, I kind of want to play this, dude.
You want to get on that pod, you know? You wanted the pod.
Yeah. Seriously, it was a big deal. No, that's
what was the matchup that ultimately won it for you, Dave?
I don't remember. I remember like I still had Liverpool, and I had saved a couple, and he had nothing, and I was just like, dude, you're going down these next week or two. I got you now in my trap. But we were talking before the pod, just congratulating Josh, of course, on his new baby, and just how life can get in the way of fantasy Premier League and such is annoying sometimes. But for some reason, when we started that game, I had like a lot of free time, and I spent way, way too much time like researching and building Excel sheets and models. So I wicked nerded out on that. I'm happy to have won it.
But wait, Dave, you built models? What goes into that?
Well, like with that kind of game, it's sort of like a solvable game, you know, like whereas Fantasy Premier League, there's like too many variables and it's like roulette kind of. But that game's sort of solvable because if you put in like inputs, first of all, I built a model for like win, lose, draw for the rest of the season for all the teams and all the matchups before realizing that 538 already did that. But anyways, but the other thing is if you put in some probabilities and guess what other people are going to pick, you can make picks that have a higher expected value based on sort of going against the grain, if you will, but picking teams that you think will still win. So I spent way too much time on it, long story short. So it was fun, but I could never do it again.
Yep. Well, we're gonna do it again come fall 2017. So if it sounds like fun, I don't think you need to create spreadsheets to do it, but I think it will probably help, given that it helped for Dave. You can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating and check us out there.
I feel like I talked over the most important part there, patreon.com/alwayscheating. Every little penny helps, Josh.
This is so sad. Let's get into the podcast. Let's do it. Game week 35 was a strange one. I ended up on 50 points, which I guess is okay. It's kind of like a treading water score. I think it's my first red arrow in like maybe 9 or 10 weeks. And I lost my head-to-head for the Always Cheating playoffs, my personal playoffs in our mini league. And I lost it because it took Eric Bailly over one full minute to walk like half the pitch when he went off injured. And if he had gotten off that pitch before the 60th minute, I would have been in the playoffs. But because it took him 13 seconds, I was out. And he got his clean sheet. I lost my De Gea clean sheet with the Gilby stick. So I really could blame Wayne Rooney for his insane foul in the edge of the box.
You could tell the reaction of Wayne Rooney after he committed that foul. He realized, oh no, they have Gylfi Sigurdsson on their team. I may have just conceded a goal.
Yeah, it was a great reminder why Wayne Rooney doesn't play anymore for Man United.
But how insane, I mean, there are fewer fantasy implications here, but how insane was that whole interaction between Ander Herrera and David De Gea? I mean, Dave, were you watching this game? Did you see this free kick and Ander Herrera went back to the goal line and he was sent back up to the wall, mass confusion?
Yeah, I was watching the game on mute, sort of half asleep, and I was like, am I like reversing it? It was like a stupor, and I was like, what is going on there?
So
you rarely see a professional team panic in that way. Like Man United were just really, really panicking. It was strange to watch it unfold.
Wait, can I do my Roger Bennett impression real quick?
Let's hear it.
Please do.
And
then,
in the 79th minute, Gylfi Sigurdsson lines up a crossing free kick with the same veracity, strength, and dexterity of an Anthony Joshua uppercut to Vladimir Klitschko.
My nipples are tingling, Dave. Okay, so yeah, the whole thing with Eric Bailly was such drama on FPL Twitter in particular. Like, is he going to get the 6 points? Is he not? When it was confirmed, it was almost like, we got the number one draft pick in the NFL draft. It's amazing.
I didn't realize how many people even had Eric Bailly. I thought everyone was in the Valencia camp, and then you had some Daily Blind people. But yeah, Bailly was really,
I think Bailly was a great pickup for game week 34, and I think a number of people sort of under the radar at that. And I mean, Bailly for me, hands down, is the best center back that United have in their squad. I mean, there was, I guess you'd Phil Jones when he is like 100% fit, is a really smart center back, but Bai, for my money, he's the best.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one guy who's still playing, right? I mean, like he's the one consistent option on that team. You know, even Antonio Valencia was kind of the more reliable fullback or the more reliable defender. You know, obviously he's a fullback and not a center back. His kind of, I guess he's just being rested, right? It's not that he's lost his spot. It's just that Brayden is trying to save him for the semifinals of the Europa League and some of the other big matches, right?
I mean, the defense is in tatters at United, and I think they have to, Mourinho has to be really sweating the Europa League. And as we'll talk about this when we look at game week 36 fixtures, how Arsenal match up against United going into Sunday, because Manchester United will be playing their first leg of the Europa League on Thursday night, and they're going to be a pretty thin squad coming out of that game.
I know, yeah. I mean, what? So, okay, Dave, do you have any Man United players? Are you planning to bring anyone in for the game week 37 double?
Yeah. Well, I got double defense Valencia Bai right now. Okay. I'm not sure about any attacking. I mean, what would you really go for there? It's pretty rough. I mean, I guess we'll talk about that coming up. But
we're not done talking about game week 35 yet, Dave. How'd you do?
Oh, I had a good week. I had a final score of 69, hashtag nice, green arrows. Now I'm at 17,000 overall. So,
wow,
very happy. Yeah.
What drove you to 69? I mean, who was your captain this game week?
Kane. I've been riding that Kane train. I have King, of course, on my team, but I've he's been my saving grace this season. I got on him really early, before that giant haul, and that's pretty much the luck that's gotten me to a pretty good point in the rankings. So
Josh and I were in the bar on Saturday morning watching the fixtures of shame, the two goals and four fixtures, and I had played Pickford in goal with the hope that they could actually try to stave off relegation for their fans, for their five home fans, and he almost had it, and then Joshua King scores that goal because John O'Shea couldn't figure out what to do with his feet. And Josh and I shared this moment of, by God, how have we gone this whole time without Joshua King? He's been one of those perfect FPL assets mm-hmm. that somehow Josh and I have not gotten on board with. And yeah, do you feel like you have the tenacity as a manager to get on board with a Josh King in midway through that run?
And if you mean if I didn't get him early, would I have picked him up?
Yeah, like you were saying, you kind of lucked into Josh King.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think as part of the psychology of this game, it's you do have to sort of lick your wounds and just pick up a guy if he's killing you. I mean, like if you're going to break the game, like Ali did last year, just in terms of a guy who's just scoring way beyond his points or his cost, you got to pick him up and reorganize your team.
I think sometimes I take the concept of the gambler's fallacy a little too far. You know, I think, well, you know, like this guy has never been a real performer in his career, and you know, just because he's been scoring doesn't mean that he's like it's not gonna last. You know, like it's like he's not hot. It's just a blip, and it's gonna go away. So I'm like, I don't want any part of that. And I mean, I guess the gambler's fallacy is actually kind of the reverse, which is that you think that it's going to flip, right?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm never going to captain a guy who would cost $6 million. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was surprised Josh King didn't make it higher in the captaincy polls heading into this game week. But it's just to echo Josh, I also had a 50-point game week, and it was a red arrow blah week for me. My transfer was I dropped Martin Darun, star of game week 34 for Leroy Sané. And I guess I feel lucky getting 3 points from Sané, given that he started on the bench, ended up with a yellow card.
Yeah, and Brandon, you left some points on the bench this game week, sadly.
Yeah, so I was, like many people, I had Negredo in for... Dave, did you have Negredo last week for the
no,
double?
No, I don't... I was looking at him for so long. Everyone's like, oh, Negredo, like on the message boards and everything. And I was looking at the stats in Middlesbrough, and I'm like, you know, like the Beautiful Mind, you know, animated GIF. I'm like, what do people see in this guy? And I just never touched him.
Okay, so Dave just explained why he's ranked 17,000 in the world. He's much higher than either me or Josh. He figured it out. But, yeah, I decided that I'd rather take a punt in my midfield with that City Middlesbrough game as opposed to swapping. The popular move was drop Negredo and bring in Gabbiadini, which is what you did, Josh.
And it's a good week for a punt, right? Because you're about to play your game week 36 wild card.
Yeah, my wild card is live, like most of our listeners out there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so we're gonna get to that in a second. I don't have a wild card, which creates some interesting problems for me. So let's get right into it. But first, we have a question from Dave Aston, who said, "Who cheaters had the worst haircut this weekend?"
Wow, man, this is like being on the stock market floor. The worst haircut sort of changes like minute to minute. People like throwing tickets on the floor like, buy, sell. I'm going to go with George Boyd. We were scrutinizing the Burnley Crystal Palace game, and I'm just done with George Boyd's whole headband, hiding whatever Boy George thing he's got going on under there.
Technically, it's not even a haircut, right? Because it seems like he just doesn't cut it. It just goes.
It is a non-cut, but I kind of take haircut to mean just like situation on top of your head. And, you know, George, listen, I can sympathize. If you're balding, just let it go, man. I mean, look to Pablo Zabaleta. That is what you can do. I mean, granted, Pablo Zabaleta is like, I could talk about him for hours. He's so chiseled. He's a really good-looking man. He's got that Mark Strong sort of bald head.
He does have a Mark Strong look.
I don't think that George Boyd could pull it off. But there is another way.
All right. Well, I will jump in here. Obviously, Hector Bellerin is the correct answer here. Arsenal's... I mean, do you guys think it's a good strategy for Arsenal to put their most talented player on the bench, or is that like?
Oh,
a
absolutely!
New...
No, yeah, I think that's smart move.
When you start a phrase, do you think it's a good strategy for Arsenal to fill in the blank? You could go anywhere with that one.
Well, I mean, I was looking at the running order, and I see there was a tweet about, you know, just to step on our show order, but like Josh King going to a bigger club, can he perform? It's like, well, you know, if you're going to Arsenal, then no.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Josh King could certainly do what, you know, he could do more than, I don't know.
More than what Aaron Ramsey is doing this
season? Yeah, Ramsey or the Ox, for that matter. I mean...
I do have a soft spot for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I feel like he's been one of the few players in that squad that's really put forth some effort. And
yeah, he hustles. Yeah.
He does hustle. It's more of a fantasy problem, gentlemen. We're not in the world of reality here,
these are real haircuts we're talking about.
Yes, not to drag it on though, but doesn't Bellerin get some extra points for ditching the cornrows and just going for the samurai ponytail?
No, I don't think so. I just, his whole thing right now, he's got to Mark Strong it, Brandon. He's got to go full Mark Strong.
Yeah. Even if you have a beautiful full head of hair, go Mark Strong.
Yeah. We're all three of us are shaving our heads in solidarity tonight. Yeah. to try to compel, Bellerin to join us. Hail Cheaters Super League. Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. We've got the updated top 10 from game week 35. Josh, should I start from 10, work my way up?
Yeah, why don't you do 10 through 6, and then we'll have Dave do 5 through 1.
Oh, wow. It's like we're on the Late Show with David Letterman. We have a guest person for the top 10. Are you up for it, Dave?
Absolutely. I get to butcher everyone's names. I'm so sorry.
Welcome to our lives, Dave. All right, at 10th place, it's Acuna Wanmata, Eddie Pereira, 71 points on the game week. 9th place, it's Abdullah Al-Mamoun with 57. 8th place, Kingings Mings. Did I get that right? I need to do an Apple Plus on my spreadsheet here. All right, Kinging Mings, Darren Anthony Hay with 49 points. A rather soft score, but he ekes into the top 10. I think that's a new entry.
Yep, I think it is.
Yeah, 7th place, Tom Hall's League Cup champion. And in sixth place, it's Pochettino tracksuit, Philip Anthony's team, scoring 58 points on the game week. Take it away, Dave.
And then falling to number five, we have Lauro Jake Conyard. Number four, Rio Mori the 11th, Jiming Tan. Number three, Eat the Kapui, Patrick Connolly. I don't even know how to pronounce Kapui's name. I should not.
None of us do.
Number two, Sesboom, Cesar Rodarte. And then number one, the indomitable bricklayers, Anders FK.
He got rid of the FC. It's just bricklayers now. He's rebranded.
Yeah. It's like he's moving.
Rebrand.
He's not playing in the MLS where it's all Real and FC, everything. Feel better about our league.
And
great. I think I saw Anders FK is 266 overall in the world. Well done, Anders.
All right, let's take a quick break and let's get right into Game Week 36 Q&A.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, we're back. We've shaved our heads and we're about to give some general advice. Okay, so we're breaking up Game Week 36 into, I guess it's sort of three different categories. First one is general advice. Second category are double game week players. And then finally, we talk about Jesus, as every good podcast should.
It's just like that TLC song, Let's Talk About Sex, but instead of sex, it's Jesus.
So. And that's actually what they did in my church choir, so it worked out. Brandon, why don't you read the first question?
All right, first question comes from Sebastian Stramunch. I see why you threw the first question to me, Josh. All right, Sebastian on Twitter or Facebook asks, at this point in the season, most of us are either protecting a lead or chasing someone who does. What kind of advice would you give to managers who are chasing, and what advice do you give to those who are leading in their mini leagues?
Dave, you want to take this one? You want to start?
Yeah, I got some advice because I'm lucky to be leading in a couple of mini leagues and really hoping to play a very cynical game and protect that lead. So my advice is to log into the site, click on that transfers, and then sort by transfers in round and just add all those guys.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Because you're basically, you're mining the moves that all your opponents below you are making, right?
Absolutely. Just pick the best guys. Pick the guys that everyone's picking, and you'll do fine.
So, that's the easier half of the question, right? How to protect a lead. Yeah, you just take the heavy hitters that you don't have, but people below you do, and you cut them off at the pass. But the harder question is, what do you do if you're chasing? And this is where the men and women are separated from the boys and the girls.
I have some advice here, and it's okay. So it's not just okay. So like Dave said, when you're in the lead, it's just all about feel. You don't have to think about anything but fielding the best 11, right? It's just the best team you can put out there. There's no need to get crazy. There's no need to take any risks. Just whoever the most captain player is in the fantasy football scout poll or whatever. Just that's probably the guy that you want to be captaining this game week. But when you're below, it's not just about having a good game week. You need people above you to have bad game weeks. So it's out of your hand a little bit. So you can't just focus on having the most points. You have to focus on picking people who are slightly riskier because they're not going to be captained by the people above you. And then you have to get lucky. And I don't think you can just field your best possible 11. I think if you really want to win, if all you care about is getting in second to third, and if you're in a money league or something, it's a different strategy. But if you really want to win the whole thing, I think you have to take a big risk. It might drop you a few more spots, but if it works out, it could catapult you into first.
And the risks you can take are kind of limitless, given the two double game weeks in a row in 36 and 37. So the mini league is it's really all up for grabs still, even if you're – all right, so –
I mean, the captain dilemma. Say that again, Brandon. Sorry.
What is a gap that's too big, do you think? If you're trailing your mini league leader by 100 points,
that's too big.
It's too big.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. I think.
Okay. Hashtag asking for a friend.
I think with triple captain and bench boost, you could definitely make up 50.
Yeah. Okay. 50. What's your lead, Dave? What are you protecting?
Oh, that's a good question. In the one league, I'm up pretty well. Sorry, Tim. The other one is more like 30 or 40, so it's very much in the air right now.
Yeah.
50, so I feel pretty good, but yeah, a bench boost. If he's chasing, and if you're chasing and you don't have Wayne Rooney on your team, then, why are you even playing? You know, you got to you gotta go for it. So
you gotta run with Rimpig, right? Take as far as that pig will take you.
Okay, so this real quick on this topic, this is something that I saw brought up on the FPL Reddit board. Dave, you're talking about the cynical approach, and there will be some haters out there. Like, mm-hmm. if you're the league leader and you're just matching the people under you move for move, people will hate on you for that. How do you justify not sort of playing the game in I don't know how to put it, like a true or sporting fashion?
Honorable, or if you want.
Yeah, honorable, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Well, to be honest, I didn't really look that much at other teams when I was playing the last 5-10 weeks or whatever. It's just sort of playing what I thought to be the best game, playing the right way, if you will. But, I mean, we're all wild carding now. So that's what I'm saying in terms of advice of the wild card. You know, you don't know who they're bringing in, so just bring in, don't try to reinvent the wheel, you know?
Yeah.
Bring in the best players.
Yeah, exactly. And that's true. Even if you're behind, I mean, it's not like you can just, you know, pass on, I don't know, you know, Hazard and Kane and whomever. I mean, you still have to have most of those players, but, you know, you can captain the right person. If you start your triple captain, that to me is the best way to make up ground. I mean, if you take a risk and triple captain someone like Diego Costa in game week 37, who I don't think is going to be, I mean, he might, I mean, I'm sure he'll be in the top five most captained, at least among active teams, but I don't think he's going to be the number one or number two option that game week.
I'm sure Hazard will beat him.
Possibly Harry Kane, possibly right. Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah. A lot will ride on Sanchez's form. I feel like we probably will have about 40 questions left in this podcast all about Alexis Sanchez.
So, TJ Crane, this is a question for you. Dave, are you wildcarding this week, too?
Yeah, I'm active right now.
Great.
Dave, and just so all the cards are on the table, Dave, do you still have your triple captain?
I do not.
Okay. Did you play it on Sergio Aguero when I played?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave's my man.
I still have my triple captain. It's the one. It helps make up a little bit for me not having my wild card this game week. So TJ Crane says, players we need to bring in this week, if you still have your wild card left, just so that this doesn't go on forever, let's see if you guys can come. I'm gonna hang back on this one. And let's see if you guys come up with five players that you want to bring in this week if you still have your wild card left. I don't know if that's too many, but is there a consensus five here?
Okay, yeah, well, I think we can come to a consensus here, Dave. I think you've got to go with South. It's all Arsenal and Southampton, right, for game week 36. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have, bring in Yoshida or Jack Stevens, price dependent. Mm-hmm. I think Yoshida would probably be preferable. He's a little more dangerous on set pieces. So I'll go Yoshida and Gabbiadini from Southampton. And you're probably struggling with this right now on your wild card, Dave, as I am. I am oscillating between Alexis Sanchez and Ozil. Now, with the caveat that I know in the last couple of podcasts, I've said Alexis Sanchez with the bullet first in my wild card. But it's a little bit like trying to move that piece of furniture around a corner that just won't fit around the corner. Yeah. And, okay, so I'm going Yoshida, Gabbiadini, Peter Cech.
Interesting.
Let's say Alexis Sanchez, and who's the fifth? I mean, who do you disagree with, Dave?
I don't disagree. I mean, Kane, King, Caballero, and then probably one of Jesus, and Aguero.
Right.
Oh, so you would suggest building towards a game week 37 as opposed to just 36.
Yeah. What's the most number of Arsenal and Southampton players you guys plan to have coming out of your wild card? The highest number.
Right now, I have five in my wild card team.
Yeah, I think five is the right number because, like you said, Brent, one of Yoshida's demons, you don't need both. I mean, unless you're going uber cheap for some crazy reason. One of those is fine. Gabbiadini is fine. You probably want to save one for maybe Ward-Prowse if you want a budget guy, or Tadic if you're just a masochist or something. And then
you're totally a masochist.
And then I like Cech as well. I'm looking at him because in the last pod you went over the dearth of Arsenal defense. And then five.
Koscielny is sort of back in the lineup, and Koscielny is dangerous offensively, but Peter Cech is, I think, better value at his price, and we're going to need all that money. And
it's just a lot of games. I mean, Cech's your best ticket to that.
Yeah,
exactly. That's true. He's probably going to play all four. It's not a fun time. If you're like me and you have one move to make, I guess theoretically I could burn, you know, 4 or 8 or something like that. But I currently have I have Alexis, I have Jack Stevens, and I have Gabby Adini. So I've got 3 players. I don't know that I'll be bringing in more than 4. I can't see the value in burning 4 to bring in an Arsenal defender or a another Southampton defender. I guess an easy one would be to bring in someone like Nathan Redmond, which is,
he's a rotation risk.
But so was Prowse, right? I mean, Prowse didn't start the last game.
Yeah, so no, I just want to flag that.
Oh, I agree.
The whole midfield is, I think, Tadic, Redmond, and JWP are, you know, one might be safer than the other, but you have to flag that they're all sort of rotation risks.
So he is a rotation risk, but I mean, he was only rotated in the Chelsea game, and he has started, I think, the other 3, 6, 7. I mean, 7 of the last 8 games he started. So, I think he's only a mild rotation risk. But the problem is, I mean, they play Liverpool away and Arsenal at home. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I think they could score in both those matches, but it's not like I expect them to score 2 or 3 in any of them.
Is anyone worried about Gabby Adini being a little out of form and getting subbed pre-60 minutes over the weekend?
Yes,
for sure.
I mean, okay, so yeah, we're all worried, but he's still a must-have.
Well, I mean, I given that it's a double game week, I think so. Especially if you're wildcarding, I mean, you could argue that it's no longer worth burning 4 to bring in Gabby Adini, which I think I probably would have done, you know, in a different set of circumstances.
Yeah, I think that's a fair stance. Gabby Adini is a wild card striker if you're not. So, Dave, I'm interested in how you're looking ahead to game week 37. Mm-hmm. And there are probably more enticing matchups in game week 37. So we just were reviewing the Southampton fixtures than there are in 36. So maybe if you're not on your wild card, just kind of try to ride out the Arsenal-Southampton doubles.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be sweating that, are you, Josh? Yeah, I think you're on the right track there.
Yeah, I think four is about as many as you really need. I don't want to be saddled with those players for game week 37. And I feel like, you know, once you bring in a double game week player, it is very hard to bring that player back out with another double game week to follow. And I can just see myself talking myself into a worse move before game week 37 because I don't want to get rid of, you know, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain or something like that, even though it's not the best strategy for the 37 doubles. So it's tricky.
It is remarkably lucrative for wild carders right now because it could be that Arsenal and Southampton had doubles in 36 and they didn't double in 37. Like it's so lucky that they both double in 36 and 37. So there's like all of the management for 37 can happen going into 36. So I think it's like brilliantly lucky.
Sam Trafford asked about alternate strategies for those who've already burnt their second wild card. I think we've already talked about that a little bit. I actually think we talked about it a lot in last week's podcast. Hold on to players that have good fixtures in Game Week 37 is really the trick. I mean, try to drop players that have that don't have double game weeks to come or don't have quality fixtures. You know, I think it really is tricky. I am right now debating what to do with Lukaku before Game Week 37. I think I'm probably going to end up dropping him for either Jesus or Costa, and I haven't wrapped my head around that one. It kind of depends on whether Aguero is like actually injured or just like a little bit injured.
Yeah, Lukaku was not done any favors by a blank against Chelsea. Not that you would expect him definitely to score against Chelsea, but I think a lot of owners are going to get cold feet. I can't imagine him surviving a single wild card And Dave, where do you stand on Lukaku?
Yeah, I dropped him last week for actually Gabbiadini. So my front line's Aguero, Kane, Gabbiadini right now. It was a tough choice because if anything, it's because I had a lot of value wrapped up in him. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like, all right, do I just, you know, cut the cord right now and use that money somewhere else and just get those profits? So
yeah.
And another thing is, you know, he's not on penalties, is he? Is Bane still playing even? I don't know. His stats weren't that great. I just didn't want to think about it anymore, I think.
Yeah.
So you have Aguero, Dave. Okay. So if anyone has any questions about Aguero's fitness, just at Dave Wagner Lodl on Twitter, because
the Bendinieri D Wagner.
Yeah, you're gonna be on Pep Guardiola press conference watch.
Absolutely. No, I'm a big Aguero guy. If he's healthy and chance of playing, I try to have him.
Goals and seven for him? He hasn't like blown away. He hasn't had a quote unquote Aguero haul.
No. I just like
really him. At all this season, but he's still so consistent.
Yeah, he's good.
he's a good player. He's pretty all right.
That was Scott Gill's question was, is it time to say bye to Brock Toon and are Arsenal still relevant? We're getting right into the double game week section here. Dave, you really think that Aguero's going to survive your wild card?
No, probably not. I mean, it's sad. It's just like this is always the thing with Aguero. He's so much money and you can't have like that much money in like a game time risk because it's just ridiculous. So
it's going to be Kane next year. He's going to start at like 13 million.
Yeah.
I do believe that of all of the there's still like three game weeks left, but of all of the messages we had received on social media, Scott's just encapsulated this fantasy season more than any else. Is it time to say bye to Brock Toon and are Arsenal still relevant?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the season in a nutshell, right?
Yeah. So Brad Bulo says triple Sanchez conundrum. And manager double game week rotation risk. Ah, that's not even a question, really. But he's freaking out. And I kind of am too, to be honest. I saved my triple captain. I mean, I knew that I was taking a bit of a risk, but I thought, all right, well, I'm going to have Alexis Sanchez for a double game week. It's a great triple captain. This is back before he stopped, you know, playing and starting to, I don't know, like I guess he's like. I guess he does have to move, right? If he's going to go to Chelsea, he gets to like just stay in the same house, and everything's fine. So
he loves that house, Josh.
He loves that house. He has a couple dogs, right?
I think golden retrievers. Yeah.
So, are you guys planning to captain Alexis Sanchez this game week?
Well, I
guess if you have him, Brennan.
I don't know how to answer this question because. Okay, so I've been thinking about Alexis Sanchez a lot, as all of us have. But so if Alexis Sanchez is not in form, but his ownership is really high, I feel like there is an argument to be made that you protect yourself by following the herd on Alexis Sanchez because there's nobody else like him that it could explode. And say what you will about his form, the threat is still there. And the reverse is if, like, say 400,000 managers dump Alexis Sanchez in the next 4 days, he becomes this amazing differential. If the crowd moves away from him,
that's not going to happen, though. Not with the double, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true. That is sort of not wishful thinking, but it's dreamlike thinking.
I think the counter to what you're saying, though, is. If you don't spend all that money on Alexis Sanchez, you can build a better team. A better team is more points. More points allows you to soften the blow of not having Alexis should he do anything serious.
I do agree. My wild card team right now has Mesut Ozil in it as opposed to Alexis Sanchez.
Right.
And my team, my Ozil team, looks markedly better than Sanchez. It's just amazing. Yeah. How much that 1 to 2 million helped. So that's kind of where I am right now. And so, but then do I stick the armband on Mesut Ozil?
I think you probably have to. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good plan. I mean, I was just looking at opened up the captain poll. It's so depressing. It's like, Sanchez. But like we were just talking about like differential. Ozil, I mean, his underlying stats are as good or better and Sanchez right now. He's scoring. I mean, if you're chasing, Ozil might be a good punt. And if you really want to be like set your mini league off and make people really angry, you know, check.
Right. Yeah. Check is interesting. I mean, what about you've got Costa and Hazard. They play Middlesbrough at home. You've got Jamie Vardy playing Watford at home. I mean, are there any single game week players you guys would consider?
No.
I don't think I would either, to be totally honest. I mean, given what we just saw in game week 34, I think it's worth considering.
Well, I mean, I captained Kane single game week that game week, so I shouldn't have been so flip, but I don't know, just for this one, Hazard maybe,
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, even Lukaku away to Swansea. I mean, I don't think Swansea's keeping a clean sheet in that game.
He's bad away.
He is bad away, though. True. Yeah, if Gabbiadini had done anything, it would be tempting to captain him, possibly even triple captain him. But that would be based on Gabbiadini's form from game week, 26 to 29 or whatever.
It's like super punt status right there.
Yeah, and the thought of throwing a triple captain on that much of a punt is just not going to. It's not going to work for me. Now, so I think it was maybe Ian Stimson on Twitter mentioned that, it's not a bad idea to hold the triple captain for game week 38 because those games there aren't a lot of clean sheets in game week 38. I mean, I captained Olivier Giroud last year when he scored a hat trick.
I remember that.
So I do think that there's an argument made there, but that just feels super risky to me because
it's so wildly unpredictable. Last day of the season is, I mean, there could be games that decide relegation or even the league title. Probably not, but it's so risky.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Chelsea playing Sunderland at home in game 38, but if they're 7 points ahead going into that game, then maybe. Maybe it's kind of like a B team that starts, or they just don't take the
game seriously. I have a prediction. Okay, so if Chelsea have already won the league at that point, what they're going to do is they're going to unfurl a net at the midfield of Stamford Bridge, and they're going to play a game of like soccer ball tennis with all the teams on either side of the net. It's going to be wonderful for the fans.
All the teams? Are they playing multiple teams?
four-on-four soccer tennis. No, that's my prediction.
I'd like a net going to, like, to the roof, where it's just like parking the bus or something. I was like,
that's a good call.
Okay, so let's before we move on from the double gaming players for game week 36. I mean, it really is tricky, as we know. There's not a lot to work with here. Are there any Arsenal attacking options that you guys would look at beyond Sanchez and Ozil? Does anyone else stand out to you? Or no, you don't need to stand out, but it's worth a punt.
Dave, I'll let you take the softball.
Again, if you're chasing and you don't have a front line that includes Wayne Rooney and Olivier Giroud, you're just not having fun. You're just not.
Yeah, you're not. You're not playing the right way.
not that I would look at in terms of like recommend, but yeah, I mean, punty, Giroud maybe, but
I'm tempted by Giroud. I mean, as someone who could stand to make a punt in game week 36, I mean, I'm worried that he hasn't played consistently or hasn't started consistently. It's a concern that he has looked like complete garbage the last few game weeks. That does give me pause.
It would.
I mean, otherwise, I'm just in. I'm not gonna drop Dele Alli for Mesut Ozil. That's just not gonna happen. I'm not gonna drop Sand. I mean, my midfield is kind of in a weird spot right now. I mean, I could go really punty with a guy like Oxlade-Chamberlain or Aaron Ramsey, but God, I mean, the thought of having Aaron Ramsey for two games. I mean, I know how frustrated I would be.
Can I make a confession to you guys, a really super secret confession just for you and the people listening to Always Cheating?
Absolutely. Yes, go on.
Okay, so this is a wild card blunder that people may talk about many seasons from now. So I triggered my wild card on Saturday afternoon, and I was just like tinkering around, and Do you know that anxiety when you have your you can't make your wild card active until you actually like set a full team and make the transfers, and that's when your wild card becomes active? So I was just like, I was tinkering, and I was trying to do Alexis Sanchez, Eden Hazard, Diego Costa, and then still manage to keep Kane and Alonso. And I was just really struggling. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to get rid of somebody. And if I think I'm going to get rid of anyone from this squad, you know what? Screw it. Dele Alli, you got to go. So I dropped Dele Alli just to trigger my wild card. And I thought, you know what? If I need him back, I can buy him back. I bought him at 8.8. He's now at 9.2. So I had lost 0.2 on him. So you see where this is going, right? So further tinkering that's happening during the course of today, I end up with a team that I feel like I'm pretty happy with. And it turns out that I'm 0.1 short of bringing Dele Alli back into my team, meaning I could have afforded to keep Dele Alli the whole time.
Yep. This is the most stressful part of the wild card, man. I hate this part. You make this such cynical, dumb transfers on like Saturday. You're just like, all right, this guy's going to rise and I might want to keep him, but I can't move him because I have cash value in him. And it's just my team right now just looks so stupid. I hate it. I have to stare at this for like 4 days and then I can actually play with it. It's a great rant. It's the worst part of the wild card experience.
Here's the kicker. I brought in Joshua King on the wild card to see him rise by 0.1 on, I think it was Saturday or Sunday night. So I got the price rise out of him, but I can't actually cash it in.
Right.
Right. And there's no way Josh King is going to rise another 0.1.
He might. It's possible. I mean, I don't know. I don't like the FPL statistics site, but it's definitely like in the realm of possibility.
If it happens, we're in business, baby. But otherwise, I have an alternate plan. But I just wanted to get that off my chest, and I feel like it's a safe space. Safe space.
Keep King, man.
Yeah, I should probably keep King, Brandon. Brings us to our final section of today's podcast. We're going to talk about Jesus for a moment. Dave from Burnley says, the big question for non-wildcarders is, do we rip up our teams for Jesus or not? And then Vlad Bogos says, has Jesus risen to save the citizens?
I have a big question mark on this one because it's all down to Aguero's fitness. Like, if Aguero is out for a couple of weeks, then I think Jesus is a fantastic pickup, wild card or not, right? They have really tantalizing fixtures in the double, but I am concerned about the rotation threat there if Aguero remains healthy. You're going to tell me that they both play up front together, Aguero and Jesus.
I was going to tell you that.
predicting the future.
You're a seer, Brandon.
But despite that, right, there is still the fact that they could and probably will get rotated if they're both healthy.
Okay, what about this? I think Dave's going to say something like, you need one of the two, and I'm just going to anticipate Dave's comment here. It's almost like we recorded 5 minutes of this and then it got wiped out by an audio problem. Do you guys think you need one of the two forwards? What about if you don't get, just to throw a little monkey wrench in here, what about if you don't get either of the two forwards, but you get one of probably Sané, but Sané or Sterling? Does that make up the points you might lose with Aguero? Or,
I mean, possibly, but then who's your forwards? Unless you play two up front, which I thought was an interesting idea by you guys last podcast. Who's your three then? I mean, you got one City, and then Kane, and then, you know, Costa would be a nice up front. And then, if you don't have a City at forward, then you got, what are you looking at, Vardy? Or, you know, Gabbiadini.
Well, I'm probably going to be stuck. Someone like me without a wild card, I'm probably going to be stuck with Gabbiadini.
Josh, I'm not thinking about you.
No, that's. But what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to have enough money in your bench? Are you planning to burn four before Game Week 37? I mean, Gabbiadini is not an easy player to turn into even Jesus, right? He's like a good 2 million more.
Yeah, that is a tough one. Right? Yeah. You kind of back yourself into a corner if you want to play Gabbiadini in Game Week 36.
Yeah. That makes me, now you're making me stressed out a little bit because you have to choose one or your team structure is all messed up.
Right.
Yeah, you can't do a 1 week punt or you got to take a hit to do a double switch.
Conceivably, if you use one of Dave's famous models that he can build, maybe you can work out a way where you've got Gabbiadini in for game week 36 and there is some sort of a failsafe to burn four and turn Gabbiadini and a midfielder into, say, Jesus or Aguero or somebody.
Well, Brandon, I just whipped out my financial calculator, and you can actually leave money in the bank and actually do that transfer for free. That's actually legal.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. Well, I want to see that cosign.
This is free money. This is Dave walks around in a green suit with dollar signs all over it, and he knows all about free money that you guys can get from the government.
Oh, okay. I just had the best idea for a chip next season, the free money chip. Where you get an extra $10 million for one game week?
$10 million is way too much.
No, I think it's just enough.
It couldn't be for one game week, because then
I haven't thought through the details.
It's like a loan shark. Because then you're the next week, if you're like, you got to like drop four guys to like you.
The thing is, you'd probably want to use that in game week one, right? Would you want to like immediately start off with $110 million?
How about you could burn 35 points to then play the chip again? How about that?
You're talking the game where the people do like unlimited transfers to win the week every week. Like I think that's
like what they're gonna do with like when the FPL like when the membership starts slipping, they're gonna start adding all these 100-point chip. You just get 100 points that game week.
I forgot what we were talking about.
I love talking about chips. I could happily do a whole podcast on chips. I just enjoy thinking about dumb new chips that they could invent and how to make chips better. I will say I would like next year for there to be some sort of requirement that one of your chips has to be used in the first half of the season or something. I don't like all this chip hoarding because I feel like there's an imbalance in the overall table as a result of inexperienced managers using their chips early on. You know, serious managers waiting until I feel like it's hard to get a read on where things really are.
Well, that's the whole point. It's like an NPR game show, and like the only last question is worth the whole game.
You got a wait, don't tell me fan over here.
No, and it's supposed to keep you interested. I mean, pro tip on the one last thing on the chips before you go. I mean, triple captain. It's only half a captain, guys. I mean, you have 38 captain choices. Don't stress over half of a captain the whole season.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's a great point. Okay, so where did we land on Gabriel Jesus? Are we all in? Are we all out? Or are we waiting for the next Pep press conference?
I think it's signs are hazy right now. I don't think we know quite. I don't know what to say about it, right? I don't know that we could really like. Talk about if only because of the balancing that Dave was talking about a minute ago, it's very hard to argue forcefully that yes, you need to have Jesus. I guess the argument, and this is one that is, I think, pretty compelling, especially if I was on a wild card, is just to avoid Gabbiadini altogether and just bring Jesus in right now and build your team accordingly. I mean, I'm not sure that Gabbiadini is essential for game week 36.
Yeah, he very well might not be given his current form. I can't believe he played the full 90 against the Burger, though. Coming back from injury, just played 5 minutes the week before. Jesus, in interviews, said, I'm feeling tired coming back from the injury. And everyone was like, ooh, tea leaves. He's not going to start next game. I don't even know what make of it.
Aguero was their third sub, so maybe they would have taking him off instead. I don't know. Yeah, strange.
He's a weird price, too, like 8.7.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, there's no...
It's the Giroud price, right? Giroud's always at that price, and it's like impossible to bring him in.
You're stuck with that. You're in that zone with that forward for the rest of the year, that slot. You're just... Yep.
Mm. Totally, yeah. Guys, those are our questions. Let's take a quick break, and let's look ahead to Game Week 36.
Same old podcast!
All right, we're back to talk about Game Week 36. It's our Game Week 36 preview. We're not going to go through fixture by fixture, but it's a good time for us to talk about who our captains are going to be. Less talking about transfers, because Dave and I are on our wild card. But captains and clean sheets. Dave, pull one out of your hat. Guaranteed clean sheet in Game Week 36.
Oh, well, I mean, can you pick Arsenal? We'll do one of the two? Or
yeah, for sure. Spoken like a true fellow Peter Cech draftee, drafter.
Yeah, I'll take Arsenal Southampton maybe, or well, that's
not. I mean, I'd go. I'd flip it. I think Arsenal. You not that it matters if you're playing and you get one or the other regardless. But I think Arsenal, Man United coming off of their Europa League fixture on Thursday, Arsenal's at home. That's going to be an interesting match. I think the United squad is so threadbare at the moment, and there's so much riding on that Thursday night game.
And yet, I mean, they have been keeping clean sheets.
They have. Well, I mean, Man United. So that doesn't mean Arsenal can't. It could be a 0-0 draw.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a curious one. I'm really interested to see how that game shakes out, and I think this match tells you everything about where, you know, how Wenger can get his squad to play. Like, if Arsenal does not show up for this game, then forget it. It's done.
But what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
How many weeks are we...
It means they're going to shut it down. They're going to actually shut Arsenal Football Club down for good.
I think that's already happened.
They're going to ceremoniously dim the lights on Arsenal Fan TV, and they're just going to go dark.
I legit wonder if Stan Kroenke even knows what's going on. Like, if he... has any sense that fans are upset, or I mean, like, I really wonder how utterly disengaged he is from everything. I mean, he's
spending all his time trying to build that stadium in LA for the NFL. So
the fans keep showing up at Arsenal, right? I mean, they're people keep buying. I mean, nothing has changed. There's no reason for him to care, right? When he's busy doing stuff. I mean, exactly. So
was it a stat on Football Weekly today where they said Arsenal's ticket sales they earn in three matches what Sunderland does the entire season? I'm pretty sure that was an actual fact.
And those are Milk Cup matches, Brandon. That's not even the Premier League.
It's some Johnston paint factory, paint town or whatever.
I heard Arsenal make as much money on sushi at the game as Burnley does all season on ticket sales.
Whoa.
Speaking of Burnley, that's my clean sheet pick of the week. Burnley at home to West Brom. West Brom really looked poor when they played Leicester. Part of it was, McCauley was he was injured. And, you know.
he was wearing a tinfoil hat for half the game. It kept falling off.
Yeah,
that could have been the worst haircut of the game week.
Do you have a clean sheet, Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to pick a clean sheet right here. I pick Spurs. I mean, West Ham's form at home has been terrible all season. I know Bilic said he was hopeful that Andy Carroll would be healthy again for this Friday night match, but Spurs are going to be up for it. They're flying. They're going to stroll into that London stadium and keep clean sheet.
I'm feeling pretty nervous as a Ben Davies owner right now. I mean, so Danny Rose is back, isn't back, supposed to start for the North London Derby, didn't even make the 18.
Okay,
I don't know what's going on there.
Danny Rose has been allowed to participate in what I have read, some aspects of first team training, which I have on good authority means he has been spotted in the cafeteria.
Okay, that's it. Because, like, somewhere, like the Sun or something was like, oh yeah, he is like, he's making his return for the North London Derby.
Okay, and did he?
he did not. Dave, do you have any insight on Ben Davies and Danny Rose? What's going on there?
I should, as a Spurs supporter, I really should, but I don't. I just don't trust the Sun as a source, typically. So that's my only.
The Sun has been providing heat to this Earth, Dave, for well over 4 billion years,
and it will soon expand and consume all of us. You better fear the Sun.
Did they invent hot takes? Is that the Sun? Or?
Yeah. The ultimate hot take, the star in our galaxy. No, I would not be worried about Danny Rose. I mean, if Danny Rose, I think the ultimate sign of Danny Rose coming back is that he will appear on the bench.
Okay, I think you're probably right. That's a Friday game too. I don't know if we mentioned that already, but that is the we mentioned, I think, briefly at the last week's podcast. But yeah, I mean, it's. Brandon, I'm a working Joe, just like you. I will be at work at 3 o'clock on Friday this game week. Dave, mm-hmm. I think you work as well. you know, when you can cobble together some sort of career.
Yeah.
From what I gather.
Yep. I got the third screen, you know, NBC sports app, you know, going well. Yeah.
How private is your workspace, Dave, that you're able to watch these games to your own content?
It's pretty good. And I honestly don't really care. It's not really a big deal. Yeah.
Dave is the man.
Brandon's in a true open office plan, so it's a little trickier for him.
I have a whole system in which my mobile phone, my iPhone, is in front of my keyboard. There is a piece of paper under my keyboard but covering the phone, and I'm listening to it, and if I hear something exciting's happening, I lift up the piece of paper to peer at the screen. So my life is a sad existence.
So you're directing your own gold rush, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's the gold rush of my mind.
I can typically.
Oh, actually, on that note, we're a bit off the FPL track, but I had to mention this. We talk about TalkSport Live often on this podcast. But I was listening to the Liverpool Watford match today on TalkSport Live, where they are like famously rude to the players if they're not having a good game. And they decided to start commenting on Roberto Firmino's teeth. And one of the commentators said, Roberto Firmino's teeth are so white that when the floodlights are on and his mouth is open, you can't see any of the action on the field. And I was just like, was blown away.
He must have thought that beforehand. No one says that spontaneously. That's
written material right there, for sure.
Yeah, that's written material.
So anyway, watching sports in the office, you learn a great many things about yourself and other people, too.
Okay, captains, I think we know where we're going here. Someone in Arsenal, most likely. I think Cech is an interesting shout, actually, and one I hadn't really thought about before, but kind of makes
Well, look at how well people David De Gea, how well people did with David De Gea in 34, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Brandon, I mean, you have to seriously think about Cech, I think, as a captain option this game week.
I do, and I will.
Good.
I honestly do think seriously about it. If I'm looking at Mesut Ozil or Alexis Sanchez, given recent form and the prospects of a clean sheet, Peter Cech is like almost odds-on favorite there.
So, okay, captains.
What does the model say, Dave?
The model says if you captain a goalie, it's very boring.
Yes, I like your model. Your model is a real sports fan.
In terms of transfers, I'm the only one making a transfer this week. I like the look of my defense this game week, and I am probably going to make a midfield transfer. And I really don't know what to do yet. I'm kind of up in the air. I might.
You've been talking about getting rid of James Milner for the last month.
You still have Milner?
Well, it's complicated. Okay, I've been meaning to. I've tried to drop him for weeks now, and for various reasons, I wasn't able to. He hasn't been starting the lineup every week. You know, mind you. So I might drop Milner and Zaha this game week and try to set myself up for the doubles game week 37. I really don't know. Maybe Nathan Redmond. Maybe I just quit playing FPL altogether. You know, everything's on the table.
Oh man, I can't imagine like not having a wild card right now.
Seriously, that's sad.
It's kind of like everyone else is going shopping and you've been left behind.
Well, the one thing I want to remind you guys is the AC Showstoppers playoff start in game week 36. Brandon will not be in there because he didn't make the cut, but I will be, and I'm excited to see who my matchup will be, and we'll update you guys in the podcast next week.
Yeah, Dave, did you make the playoffs in the AC shows? Are you a sad person like me?
No, I'm in both. I have my wild card, and I'm looking forward to the playoffs. So I'm, you know, like my Boston sports teams, Patriots, Celtics. I'm very rich right now. Very rich. Very rich.
Oh, Dave, you spent your best life. You spent the whole podcast building up all this goodwill, and then you're like, I'm a Patriots fan, and everyone was like, I'll pass on Dave.
and we found out about this third screen. I mean, three screens. My goodness, Brandon has to work off one of these little Chromebooks, you know? It's only a couple inches off the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so I feel like we haven't really stressed enough the best advice for people on their wild card. Any last pieces of wisdom for people playing their wild card right now? Can you pick, Dave, the under the radar fifth midfielder for your wild card?
I mean, I'm going to keep King. I mean, I think it's that's an odd, that's not under the radar. But, I mean, Ward-Prowse. Another one I was looking at was Albrighton, 4.9. He gets points sometimes.
Albrighton, if I burn four this game week, I might bring in Albrighton as one of my two players.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think, I mean, he's delivering a lot of service. Now that they snaked out their old manager, Albrighton is playing again.
Snaked out? I never heard that.
They snaked him out. They're all snakes, so therefore they are that thing. So I'll turn that thing into a verb. I like that. I feel like that is weirdly like the crux of your wild card team, particularly playing your bench boost in 37, is how strong is your fifth midfielder?
Yeah, I mean, not to like restart the whole podcast here, but is Albrighton the best fifth mid for game week 37? Is there a better double game week, a better cheap double game week midfielder than Mark Albrighton?
The only other guy I think you might be able to make a case for is Etienne Capoue from Watford. He's got a double. It's not a strong double. I think both of those matches are away from home. Yeah, Everton and Chelsea. But he's still, I don't know, he's still an active midfielder who will play both games, presumably.
I mean, Ward-Prowse, I think, too. I mean, you know, pretty, you know, 5 million, pretty cheap.
Yeah, so there's your grab bag.
I mean, JWP. The only other one might be Chadley. Is he still on penalties, maybe? But, I mean, West Brom, they can't even get, you know, in the box, so who cares? But
yeah, I mean Matic is 4.8 million. That guy was playing really aggressively in the Everton match. He was really trying to create some stuff. I mean, I don't know if you really want to have Matic. I mean, he got his first assist in, I think, like 20 games or something like that.
I do like the Matic pick as a fifth midfielder, though. If you already don't have three Chelsea players, like you would go Chelsea D, Hazard, and Costa, I think ideally. But if you don't already have three, then Matic might be a good shout for a bench boost.
Well, it's complicated, isn't it?
It's so complicated, I guess we'll meet back here next week.
Yeah, and discuss. See if our hair's grown out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you all for having me on. I appreciate it.
And, yeah.
It's been fun.
Dave, thanks for being on.
Good luck in the playoffs, Dave.
Best of luck to you guys, too.
And thanks for supporting the podcast, Dave. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. Once again, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the podcast. And, we really appreciate everyone who does it. And as we mentioned before, we're going to have at least one more pod exclusive interview. Also, thank you to Lewis, Davey, Chris Allison, and Jeff McHow, who have all pledged in the last couple of weeks. Thanks, guys, for the pledge. It's very much appreciated.
And if you're listening to Always Cheating, you like what you hear, you should subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, where you can rate us and leave a review. Find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, follow us. Dave, you follow us on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. You're my favorite.
You know what our Twitter handle is?
Hail Cheaters.
Yes.
And what's your Twitter handle, Dave?
D Wagner, DWEIGNER.
Got it.
Mostly about Patriots and Celtics. Sorry.
if you live in the Acela corridor, guys, check it out.
Find Dave in your nearest quiet car. Also,
this
Facebook.
Is very American. This might be one of our most American podcasts in a while. I mean, even
Acela reference.
We're bringing in our Americanness, but yeah, this time it was balls out.
All right, guys. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email at hailcheaters@gmail.com. Support the podcast, as Josh said. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. Dave, this is the point in the podcast where we throw out our favorite hashtag.
Oh, hashtag Mobokani forever.
Yes. Poku forever. Poku scored. Poku scored over the weekend.
Oh, he did.
Thanks, Steven Schaller, for that shout out.
Greg, I'm so happy to hear that. Praise Poku. Yeah, free Mbakani. See you next week, guys.
See you, everyone. Thanks, Dave. Dave forever.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.